interesting to me that when the Lord began to lay this on my heart, I went, Lord, how in the world somebody's dumb as I am gonna preach this message? And he said, that's all right, you just get up there and let me preach. And that's what we're gonna try to do. But Balaam and Biden's Bible. Numbers chapter 31, verse 16 is the only verse we'll read for start. If you'd like to stand, we'll read that, then we'll jump right to the message this morning. I thank God again. I'll say again, thank God for all the singing. I can pray. If you can't do nothing else right now, you can pray. Amen. And some of us better start praying a little bit more. Amen. Numbers 31, verse 16, the Bible says, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. You can be seated. And of course, this verse is dealing with Balaam. As it says there, it's through the counsel of Balaam. Now, Balaam is I won't call him a prophet. He's more like a soothsayer. The Bible even calls him, as one verse of Scripture, I believe, a soothsayer. But Balaam and Balak first appear in Numbers chapter 32. Balak is the king of the Moabites. Balak sins for Balaam. And yeah, Joshua 13, verse 22 says that Balaam was a soothsayer. He sins for Balaam to curse the children of Israel. He looks out and he sees them coming up through the wilderness and he thinks, man, this is trouble. I've got to stop this. So he calls for Balaam and to curse him. The Bible says that twice that Balak hired Balaam to curse Israel. And Balaam would respond to Balak, and he couldn't do it. Balaam said, no, I can't. And he said, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, to do less or more. First, it appears that Balaam is saying, no, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. And he offers him, he refuses everything that Balak offers him. Now, you have to fully understand what exactly Balak offers Balaam. He offered him anything he wanted. But Balak in Numbers 22, verse 17 says, I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. So Balak's telling Balaam, whatever you want, I'll get it. Balaam says this. He says, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the commandment of the Lord. Balaam, by the way, was offered the rewards of divination. So you see this man, this prophet, we'll call him a prophet, Balaam, he's offered anything that Balak has to curse Israel. He's offered money, gold, prestige, honor. Balak says to him, if you'll just curse them, I'll give you anything you want. This happens, I think, three times. Balak says, just curse them. He takes them up to the high places and they make offerings to. And Balaam would say, I can't go beyond the word of the Lord. I can't do what God's not commanded to be done. And it looks as though Balaam doesn't do it. Now, how does this relate to Biden's Bible? That's the hard part of the message, is getting this to connect. Most of you, if you watch, you know, and you understand that on January the 20th of this year, Joseph Robinette Biden, ain't that a big name? Joe Biden takes the oath of office of the President of the United States. Did you all, anybody here watch the inauguration? Who watched it? I watched it. I'm just a glutton for punishment. So I watched it. How many of y'all seen the Bible they took the oath with? They swore on. You know how that Bible was 5 inches thick? That's a big Bible. And it's not a King James Bible. Don't get your hopes up. It's a Dewey Reams Bible. It's an English Bible. It's actually older. The translation is actually older than the King James by 30 years. But it is a Jesuit Bible. How many of you know what Jesuits are? All right. So we're going to learn a little bit this morning. It's more of a Sunday evening message that you won't get on Sunday morning. So we have these Jesuit priests. They escape London. They go over to France, Dreams, France, and they begin to translate a New Testament. And that was the birth, if you will, of the Douay Rheims Bible. And I said it took place about 30 years before King James was, the Bible was done. This is the version of the Bible that Joe Biden takes the oath of office on. The Bible that he used is an old family Bible that they have. I said 5 inches thick, 127 years old, that Bible that he used. And there's a lot of connections between that Bible. Now, I'm not going to pick on Biden as much, but I'm going to pick on that Bible just a little bit this morning and how it relates to Balak and Balaam. And I'll tell you a few things. We're going to just jump right in this, and we're not going to give you a big long introduction. We're just going to jump straight to the message. I'll tell you, first of all, just like Balaam, Biden's Bible doesn't tell the whole story. That's why I said it's a Douay Rheims Bible. In Numbers chapter 22, when you first hear of Balaam and Balak, the Bible says that God said to Balaam, "Thou shalt not go." Number one. It's like God giving, not for say Joe Biden, not God giving Balaam an outline. He says, your first point is thou shalt not go. He says, you're not going to go. He says, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people. Point number two. What you're going to preach tomorrow to the people that Balak sent after you. I'm not supposed to go with you. It's point number one. I'm not supposed to curse them. It's point number two. And point number three is, for they are blessed. So God says to Balaam, he says, don't go with them. You don't curse them. I bless them. Well, what does Balaam say to the people of Balak as they come to get him that morning? In verse 13, all that Balaam says to these people, he says, the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. He doesn't tell them that he can't curse them. He doesn't tell them that they're blessed. He just gives them point number one. I can't go with you. God cannot. God won't give me leave to go with you. Now, listen, that's my brother, that's not that big a deal. Listen, if God tells you three things, you better give all three of them things back out. Amen? God said, Balaam, don't go, don't curse them, they're blessed. Balaam just says, I can't go. He don't preach the whole message. Amen? Listen, a lot of times in our country, in our pulpits across America, we're filled with preachers that have failed to preach the entire message that God's given them to preach. Amen? We slacked up, amen, in our preaching. I've preached a lot of time. About how we're supposed to preach the council, the entire council of God. What Paul said, he said, in Acts 20:27, he said, I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. We have got to preach what makes us happy. We have got to preach what corrects us. We've got to preach what excites us. We've got to preach what exhorts us. We've got to preach what corrects us. We've got to preach what reproves us. We've got to preach the entire book this morning. Balaam failed to preach the entire book. Amen. We're living in a church world where preachers won't regret losing their paycheck. They're afraid of losing church attendance. They're afraid of when they get mad at them. And they're scared to death to preach the whole life. Balaam didn't want to make these cats mad. What his problem was, he said, I just can't go with you. And that's all you have to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this morning, if you're a man that won't preach the entire Bible is a deceiver. He's not a God. And you're respectful of that crowd. Amen. And one of the very first things that Jesus warned us about concerning the second coming, and we heard songs about the testimony about this morning, he says, take heed that no man deceive you. We have four Balaams in this world this morning, and they're trying their best to deceive us. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, the Bible says, flip over another page, that ain't what the Bible said. Paul writes, now I beseech you, brethren. This is what Paul says. I beseech you, I'm begging you this morning, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And guess what he says? And avoid them. What the Bible says. For they, now he's talking about those that have preached false things. He's talking about the Balaams of this world. He says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words, catch that? Not by good works.
Right.
Good words. Romans 16, verse 18 now. He says, by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple.
Amen.
Amen. We are in a world right now that is, I don't even know if it's slowly anymore, but the wool is getting pulled over our eyes.
Yep.
Through fair speeches, fair words.
Right.
Boy, that don't describe a politician. Right?
Amen.
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 He says, mark them. Now, we're not going to do that politician right now. That's first point to deal with about preachers for now. He says, mark that crowd. Yep. And avoid them. They don't serve God. Listen, don't get mad. I better not say that. I better just move on. I could camp right here and preach the whole rest of the morning. And just to still be here at 6 o'clock. But we have got to mark that crowd.
Amen.
That's believing, teaching, and causing division with bad doctrine. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Deception is one. I'm trying my best to move on right now. I've been trying my best. I'm reading my notes in the back of my mind. I'm going to just hit this right now and plow it up real good. Blow it apart and just get it done. We may just come back to this after a while. I don't know. But deception is one of Satan's greatest tricks. He uses it. He tries his best to deceive us. And the Bible says, Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, so Brother Gary, what does this have to do with Biden's Bible? Well, I told you Biden's Bible is a Douay-Rheims Bible. It comes from France. It's an English translation made in France. And the problem with that Bible, one of the many problems with that Bible, is that it distorts doctrine. Anything, oh God, I'm not going to get away from this. Anything that distorts doctrine is not from God. I remember some of these, our pastor don't preach doctrine. You don't have a pastor then. You got a puppet, what you got. If the only preaches what you want to hear, he does not care for your soul. He's only out for his own belly, and he's not taken care of. And I'm fine, Lord, don't let me stay here. Let me move on. But anyhow, this Douay Rheims Bible, over one of the first verses of Scripture that ever prophesied about the coming of the Messiah, over in the book of Genesis, when God tells Eve, he says, I will put enmity between your seed and his seed. Talk about the devil's seed and her seed. He said, and it, talk about the seed, not the woman. He said, and it shall bruise his, talk about the devil, he said, his head, and he, talk about the seed, the woman, shall bruise his heel. Right? Did I get that right? I think I got that right. I think I may have got that backwards. Anyhow, but it's basically what he said is the single woman is going to bruise the head of Satan, like that, right there, right? He said, and the seed of Satan is going to get his heel. And bruise it. That's why often, anytime you see in the Bible anything about the heel, it's usually negative. It's always, remember that one baby that was between twins, this one woke out holding the other one's heel, remember that? How many of y'all like to rub feet this one really hand? Didn't think so. You know why? Because feet are negative, amen? Feet, that's a spiritual thing, but I don't believe that, Brother Gary. Then why don't you like rubbing feet much as I rub somebody's back or their neck or their shoulders or whatever, their head, amen, like that. I ain't rubbing his feet, though, I promise you. But we don't do that because that foot shows us something about negativity and a bad spirit. And God said that seed of the woman, he said, he is going to bruise this head and that devil. He's going to get the devil and he's going to stomp him with his foot and the devil's going to bruise his heel. And we come to the Douay Rheims Bible, the same verse of Scripture says, I will put enmities between thee and the woman and thy seed and her seed. And she shall crush thy head. It takes Jesus Christ out and makes Mary, amen, you catching this, makes Mary the Savior of the world. Now listen, this must have been a loving heart. Mary was just as much full of sin as anybody else was,
yep.
Amen. She needed a Savior just the same as me and you need a Savior. I don't think, well, Mary was a about the Immaculate Conception and how Mary didn't have pain. She was sinless. Now, well, you bumped your head and you need to sue your brain for all support.
Okay.
If you really believe that Mary was not sin, didn't have sin, she said, my soul defieth by the Lord and my spirit doth rejoice in who? And God, my what? Savior. Amen. I'm telling you, if Jesus Christ had died on the cross, Mary went to hell just fast as anybody else would. Amen.
Amen.
I'm really making the Catholic people real happy this morning with this message. Right. But it says that seed and that woman says she will bruise the head. I tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is not her. Amen. He's not bisexual. He's not transgender. He's a him. Amen.
Amen.
And we know exactly who Jesus is. You cannot fully preach the gospel using a Dewey Ring
Amen.
Bible.
Amen.
Amen. So what was our first point? That Bible doesn't tell the whole story.
That's right.
They talk about sinless perfection. See, that Bible, the early King James contained the Apocrypha, but it was stuck in the middle and it wasn't considered part of the canon. They even said it wasn't, they wouldn't believe them. They would have put it in there. But the Dewey Rich Bible includes it. And it is from that portion of Scripture that they get sinless perfection. It is from those portions of Scripture that they get praying for the dead. Now listen, don't get mad at me when I say this, because I mean this out loud. You're wasting your breath praying for your dead loved ones.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You ain't going to change. Nothing's going to change for them.
Right.
Amen.
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 Don't get mad at me for preaching your Bible. Amen.
Amen.
If you get mad at me, you show me how full of devil you are. Amen.
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 Because so-and-so just died. One preacher, I prayed for Mama. She's passed away. Or Grandpa or Cousin Billy or whoever. Or whatever and all that. Listen, they done dead.
Right.
They're not going to get saved now.
Amen.
Our problem is, now I'm stuck here.
Come on, honey. My Lord.
Can't preach them in there yet. I've seen that done too. Little preachers get the old so-and-so. They like the amazing grace. I don't care if they like the amazing grace. Why don't you get me started on that? I don't care what songs they like and all that stuff, but that they did not have the blood of Jesus. If they have the blood of Jesus in our lives, they're going to go to hell. Amen. They done went to hell. They did. Amen. And we said, I'm going to pray for so-and-so. Listen, that's a Catholic doctrine. It's from hell. It ain't doing them no bit of good. Amen.
Amen.
Purgatory comes from these scriptures. That's that whole idea of praying for the dead. We put they're not fully in hell yet. They're just in the holy place. And if you'll pay enough money, some priest, some guy wearing a dress will come out and pour a potty, and he's going to say, we're going to give them enough help. And they're going to be moving up to the next spiritual world. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. There's not the God in the mean miles of that mess.
Amen.
All these magical incantations of the Catholic Church, the blood turning, the wine turning to the blood, and all. Well, that's why you can't preach the gospel using a book of deception.
Amen.
See, this Bible is like Balaam. It didn't tell the whole story.
Amen.
Y'all still with me?
Amen.
Amen.
Let me move on. I'm trying not to be making anybody off. Number two, like Balak. Remember, Balak's the king of the Moabites. Like Balak, Biden's Bible was built to conquer.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Amen.
Balak's intention, this is what Balak said, peradventure, I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. Balak didn't want to coexist with Israel. You with me? You see these little weirdos not coexist on the back of the car, but the
yeah.
Y'all see it? No, coexist. They don't want to coexist with you.
Right.
Amen.
They want to drive you out.
That's right.
That's that Brother Gary. I know so-and-so. They got one of the stickers on the back of their car, and they're a really sweet person. They're stupid. That's what they are.
Yeah.
I hope none of y'all don't want anybody. But Lord, help you.
Take it off, I'll make you another one.
Balak, what you getting at me, Jeff? You got one? Balak didn't want to coexist with Israel. He wanted control.
That's right.
Well, what's that got to do with Biden's Bible? Well, I told you, them old Jesuit priests, during the Reformation, they fled England. And they go over to Reims, France, and they begin to print this Bible. While these Jesuit priests are there, they begin to converse, we shall say, with the King of Spain. And they begin to encourage the King of Spain to attack the country of England. Why? Because England has succeeded, if you will, from the Catholic Church. And they break out all young. Y'all heard about the Reformation and all that and the Protestants and all this. So England comes out and they're no longer going to be Catholic. They're going to be something different. And one of the Jesuit priests thought, well, we're not just going to let this happen. So they begin to talk with the King of Spain. I want to say, it wasn't Ferdinand, it's Philip. They talk with King Philip and they say, all right, Philip, you need to go after them. You need to get after them. You need to attack them. You haven't y'all ever heard of the Spanish Armada? That was at the encouragement of those Jesuit priests. And they begin to push and push and push and push and push. And the whole plan was they wanted to attack England physically through the Spanish Armada and that way. So they'll attack them physically. Let me tell you this morning, you're going through lots of things this morning physically that is there to attack of your enemy. A lot of you bring on yourself and say, I got lung cancer and I don't know why. They smoked 50 years. I've got a pretty good idea why. Amen. I've got to figure that out. I've got cirrhosis of the liver and I don't know why. I just drink like a fish. I've got to figure that out myself. I got killed in a car wreck. I don't know why. I was only going 110. Slow down. Amen. Amen. That's free.
Many people in this church that drive faster than me.
Name three. All right, she picked those names, so we're going to let it go. She was that person tailgating y'all, flashing their light. That's who she was. She ain't telling that part. But listen, they attack you physically. The Rheims Bible was intended to be circulated in England to attack England spiritually. While England was dealing with this physical attack, we can sneak in there and deal spiritually. And the whole intent was to bring England back under the control of the Catholic Church.
Right.
Balak's intention was not to coexist. It was to conquer. We are seeing this in our country right now. Be honest with you, a lot of things I'd say right now. John, I bring out more papers. That's never good when a preacher brings out more papers. but listen, the supreme goal of the Catholic Church is to have a one-world religious system.
Amen.
Hello?
Yep. That's right.
Y'all with me?
That's right. Preach, babe.
He's swearing on a Bible that the only reason that Bible was ever printed to start with is to bring the whole world into a one-world religion, and ultimately the Catholic Church would be over top of the governments of the world while they want kings to bail out of them, and they would be a one-world then government in this system. So we have to understand that this Bible was basically printed to promote the kingdom of the Antichrist. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hello.
Amen.
And that's why you got to be very careful. I'm sure we've all heard preachers say, I'm working on the kingdom. I'm building the kingdom. We even pray for offerings and say, Lord, bless this. I'm building my kingdom. Let me encourage you quickly this morning. Your job is not to build any kingdom. Your job is not to usher any kingdom. The kingdom will come. Amen.
Yeah.
When Jesus Christ comes back, it doesn't matter whether we've been a dollar or not, the kingdom's coming. Amen. He's going to come back. He's going to establish his rule from Jerusalem. It's not our job to usher in that kingdom. Our job is to be lights, to be witnesses, to be salt, and to preach and to spread the gospel. That's your only job in this world. I'm trying to build the kingdom. It's not our job to conquer this world. Amen.
Amen.
But that's all they want to do is bring the whole world under the rule of a pope.
Right.
They conquered. And they would set out to do this. I'm trying to make sure I don't jump too far ahead of myself. One of the ways that they do this with that Dewey Rheims Bible, Lord help me Jesus, is through the educational system.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just telling you.
Preach it, babe.
Yes.
The prime Jesuit methodology was to gain control of schools. Listen to this, particularly higher education. says in this way they can mold and influence the next generation. We are living in that time.
Yep.
I mean, I'm a bunch of folks in here got college education. I think just be as smart as you can be. Amen. Learn all you can learn. It's good for you to learn. But be careful getting indoctrinated.
Right.
Most major colleges and universities, they're really not hearing more to teach as much as is indoctrinated.
Right.
You'll go in fairly smart and you'll come out pretty stupid.
Amen.
Amen. And that was the result. They used the educational system to advance the movement. We are seeing it happen right now. Our educational system has been taken over.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of good teachers like we used to have.
Amen.
We got some. We do have a sister. Thank God for them.
Amen.
Thank God for a good teacher.
Amen.
In this messed up world. But then you got some.
Right.
Care less if you learn more math.
Right.
As long as you know not to vote for Trump.
Yeah. Right.
It really wasn't Trump they didn't like. It was what? Yeah. It was that system that he represented.
Yes.
Wasn't really about him. I mean, bless his heart. He's about as crazy as the rest of them, too. But they used the educational system. They used politicians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They would try to convince the politician to be on their side. That's why they got King Philip. See, we're right there today. There's something foul in our world that is driving our politicians.
Yes, there is.
Some of y'all have seen somebody go to politics and they started off pretty good fellow.
Yep.
Then after about 4 or 5 years, well, they're crookeder than a dog's hind leg.
Amen.
They crawl on a barrel of fish hooks and not get stuck. That's how crooked they are.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a mess. Over and over and over. What will happen to them? There's something, there's a spirit in there. I'm sure Brother Chris has noticed this in his work that he does up at the Capitol building. I'm sure he'll tell you there's just something weird in that building.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get out of it. Spiritual. I'm sure, and I think we got a good school up here, but I'm sure even our brother put back there and say, sometimes it just, there's something that just don't feel right in that building.
Mm-hmm.
There's spirit in there. Spirit of the Capitol. There's a spirit in the courthouse. Have you ever had to go to the courthouse? Have you ever noticed it?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, never. I can tell you who the demons are around there. My list. Don't name them. We're recording. Okay? I want you to lose your job. But have you ever noticed that? Have you ever go to the court, into the courtroom? That place is cool. I've been there more than I care to talk about. That's something weird. They don't feel right. See, the priest, they get that physical figure and they say, you do this. You do this. And you do this. Yep. And that physical figure, they give money. Don't let anybody fool you. The Catholic Church could care less if you got money or not.
That's right.
As long as they've got money.
That's right.
Because they can advance their agenda. Mm-hmm. That one world control, one world government. It's a hippie. I like that you've seen it on Facebook that says politicians should have to wear jackets like NASCAR drivers wear. So you know who to pay them off. That'd be great.
Yep.
Could you imagine that? I'd hate to see Joe mention the jacket.
Oh, gosh.
Lord have mercy, thank you, Jesus. Amen. But they said, you do this. And you know what the priest would do with that politician when they got through with him? When they didn't need his help anymore? Kill him.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need you. Our agenda advanced further than you. Let it have that politician assassinated. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, this thing is just meant to conquer. It has nothing to do with unity. If you watch the presidential inauguration speech, I'm sure if you're like me, you about threw up several times.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the quotes from that speech is, today we celebrate the triumph, not of a candidate, but of a cause. Catch that? The cause of democracy. The will of the people. The way we've seen church. The way we've seen age. The will of the people. The will of the people has been heard. And the will of the people has been heeded. In his speech that morning, he uses the word unity 12 different times. After swearing on that big 5-inch thick Dewey Rings Bible that had nothing to do with unity, but only to conquer. The goal of Balak was to drive Israel back to Egypt. You know anything about Bible types? Egypt is a picture of the world and sin.
Yes, it is.
The goal of this world is not to coexist with the church. It's to drive us back to sin.
Yes.
They want to crush us. Back to Egypt. As a matter of fact, Alexandria, Egypt, is where the manuscripts for that Dewey Rings Bible were discovered. Isn't that interesting? The goal of the Antichrist. What's the Antichrist goal? Revelation 6:2. I saw and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Every time you hear the word tolerance, unity, they don't want it. They want us to be submissive. They don't want you to coexist. They want you to change.
Right.
That's what they want. And it's a path that's leading us into paganism and atheism, socialism, globalism. It's the goal to conquer. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a fight for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you number three. Like Balak and Biden, Balaam, Biden's Bible had a secret agenda.
Yes, it did.
See all these scriptures I read to you earlier? It seemed as if Balaam was saying, no, I can't do that. No, I can't. But Numbers chapter 31, verse 16. Here's what the Bible says again. Behold, these called the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord. When did Balaam counsel Balak on how? We don't have that.
Right.
Every conversation we have, Balaam is saying no. 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 But then you have Numbers 31:16 says, through the counsel of Balaam. Because the children of Israel stumbled. When they stumbled, Numbers 25, verse 1, the Bible says, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. We've mentioned already the false push for unity. But Balaam's advice to Balak is, if you want to conquer them spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
You get them to unite with you. Numbers 25. See, those that printed and translated that Dewey Rings Bible said this about the actual Bible. It says, the Bible, that serpent, threatens us. The Bible shall be changed into a rod as soon as we are able to seize it. They didn't want the Bible in England, in the world, unless it was corrupted by their own political views. And we, right now, need to understand there's a secret agenda in this world. But it really, really, at worth pointing out, it's really not that secret anymore. One, to unite spiritually. We see it in the churches today. Everybody come together. We want to be, we're all one church. Don't get me started.
Come on, man.
We can all worship together. We all can do this. We all can that. And we just need to get along. We just need to understand one another. We need to sit down at the table. I think you're that. We need to sit down at the table with each other and discuss our differences. I don't need to discuss anything with this world.
That's right.
I've got a book that tells me exactly what's happening. I don't need a Pope's opinion.
Amen.
Right.
I don't need a priest's opinion. Amen. I don't need some weird old preacher's opinion who's promoting Krizlon, or somebody that's promoting the NIV Bible, or they're all born from the same corrupt seed as that Dewey Reams. And we don't need to be pulled into this.
Right.
The agenda is just built to conquer you spirits. See, the devil's smart. He knows that a lot of folks would quit in the church. So what does he do? He has super churches. You go to some of these churches and it's not church. It's concerts. It's a gathering. It's a party. It's all this. But it's not. There's no preaching there. One world famous preacher says we don't teach doctrine in our church. We don't preach the gospel in our church. Well, what in the world are you preaching?
Right.
Or would the truth be told, have you given in to the secret agenda? And are you one of those that are not serving our Lord? See, Biden's Bible is anything wicked. It just wanted to sneak in there. Change the Savior of the world from Jesus to Mary. Change it from God's Father being the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ to Joseph being the Father. Just little subtle things. And the devil knew most people in churches would never notice. And it's just a secret agenda that just snuck in and moved ever so cautiously. They wanted their own teachings. They said Rome can only rule over ignorant people.
Right.
See that Bible that President swore in on was meant to corrupt.
Yes, it was.
Amen. It was meant to conquer. They can talk about unity all they want to, but they want submission. That's what they're after. Mm-hmm. Yep. They care less about you or about me.
Amen.
Unity, tolerance, love means nothing to them. And I said they don't want unity, it's service.
Right.
They don't want tolerance. They want acceptance.
Yeah.
And more than that, they want you to believe like them. It's not love. It's lust.
Right.
Let's just put it out there where it is.
Yeah.
You really think the devil could care less if two men can get married? His goal is to destroy the home and destroy it through lust.
Yeah.
That they burn within themselves, the Bible says. And it's all in that book that he laid his hand on. Swore. Man swore to uphold the Constitution of these United States. And already talking about restricting more Second Amendment rights. And once that Second Amendment's gone, you better believe that first one won't be far behind. It's not about unity. It's about rule. You will do it their way, or you won't do it. Now, you asked me, Brother Gary, is this the first time a president has ever used a Dewey Range Bible for his inauguration? No, it's not.
Nope.
Has one other president took the oath of office and using the Dewey Range version of the Bible? Very well known. John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
Oh, wow.
Took the oath of office. And what happened after they got through?
Yep. Took him out.
The policies haven't changed. When you no longer be in FedEx, they'll take you out. I'm telling you folks, we are dealing with something more spiritual than you ever dreamed of. I don't want to step further. Where was Mr. Kennedy shot? The father's body. Right in the head. What does the Antichrist say that he wasn't going to be? Folks, God let us know real plain what he thinks. Balaam, I'll give you these scriptures when you get ready to close. Over in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, it says, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, and loved the wages of unrighteousness. And Jude, verse 11, says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. It's not by accident that God links Balaam with Cain, either, by the way. Revelation 2, verse 14. But I have a few things against thee. This is God speaking to one of the churches, in Pergamos. I have a few things against thee, because thou hast bare them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and commit fornication. So, we are in a battle spiritually like we've never been in. Jesus is coming soon. Because I've heard that all my life. Well, I promise you, one of these days you're going to hear it for the last time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to wish you could hear it again. We are seeing this whole agenda being unfolded right in front of us. Don't ever think this world wants to get along with you. What they want, what they want is God. Oh, but thank God they're going to get their wish.
Yep.
The trumpets will sound. Boy, and they can have this world. Earth. We're out of here. Your only hope in a world where things are unfolding as quickly as they are, your only hope is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's your only hope. Mr. Doug, okay, this is kind of a weird message. I don't know. Let me tell you something. The only hope you have is in the cross.
Amen.
Amen.
And that tomb, thank God the tomb's empty.
Amen.
Go back and read Numbers. Finish up through there and find out if Balaam won or God's people won. Tell him you need to be on the right side this morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Miss Danielle from Will, come get us a song, please. I wonder if you just bow your heads with me just for a minute. But Gary, I am not saved. I'm not saved. I don't know for sure. I hope I'm saved, but I'm not sure. There'll be somebody this evening, morning, and speak your hand up, say, Brother everybody pray as intentionally as you can. The Lord is speaking to your heart. Right now, make your way forward this altar. Some folks are already up here. Right now, God's speaking to your heart. Come, I want to be sure I'm saved. Unless you're going to save anybody else this morning, I'm coming. It's me. I don't want any doubt in my Christian life. I don't want any doubt. Amen. Bless you, brother. Amen. Come on. Anybody else this morning? Amen. Somebody else. Come and bring that. You come pray with that. Somebody else is going to look out. I want to be sure. I don't want to leave any question. I want to leave any doubt in my Christian life. I want to know for sure. Amen. We have others coming. God's speaking to your heart right now. Maybe you've got a loved one that you want to make, you want to say, Lord, I just pray that they get saved. Amen. God bless you. Miss Gary, God bless you. Anybody else? Brother Gary, I was worried. I'm going to say, but always that scares me. I know. Just come pray for peace. Come pray for comfort. God help us. Be others this morning. God's speaking to your heart. God, it's a good time to get right before. It's a good time to settle that thing between you and the Lord. And somebody else this morning. God help us. God bless us. God use us. Use us in the church, Lord. Amen. Somebody else. Bless you.